I want to begin this morning by asking you a question. And that question is, how much are you worth? I've been reading a lot of the news reports lately, and they're talking about one of the presidential candidates who's worth several hundred millions of dollars. Who do you think that is? No, Bill and Hillary. Yes, they have several hundreds of millions of dollars. Of course, Donald is not too far behind in that whole process. He's a very rich guy. But if I was to ask you how much somebody is worth, how would you answer it? Well, if you ask people in the world that question, they'll respond by telling you how much money they have. Can you tell how much somebody's worth by how much money they have? I sure hope not. Because if that is the case, I'm not worth much. Maybe you'd say, well, that's okay, man, neither am I. If you would please open your Bible to the book of Acts chapter 9, we're going to look at a message I've entitled, Worthless People. I was looking at an ad on TV last year, maybe the year before, from Delta Dental. How many of you ever heard of Delta Dental? You've heard of them? Yes. Did you see that commercial that they put out a couple years ago where they're showing signs in front of businesses and they don't seem to match very well? Like one sign that said, Pizzeria and Health Spa. Have you seen that commercial? Okay, I've seen that. I kind of chuckle. How about the one that said, Divorce Lawyers and Wedding Planners? Doesn't work very well, does it? The point of the Delta Dental ad was, dental is all we do, and we do it better than anyone. Okay? In today's passage, in Acts chapter 9, we find three seemingly unrelated people. Yet for some reason they're all included in the same passage, and one person ministered to all of them. And we're really talking about them. And I'm here today to talk to you about there is one who does one thing, and he does it better than anybody. Who am I talking about? Well, keep listening. Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 32. Everybody got it? As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. Immediately, Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. One of the things that I would like to try to help us understand this morning is that God cares for worthless people. How much was Aeneas worth? Are you going to try to look at his portfolio? If you were to look at Aeneas' portfolio, how much was Aeneas worth? If you have been laying around not working for 8 years, as Aeneas was laid up and not working for 8 years, how much could he possibly be worth? I've heard people talk about others and saying that they're more trouble than they're worth. I sometimes feel that way about cats. Sorry, I was rather heated this morning, but it did not carry over to worship. Aeneas was not a man who was in very good shape. I have no idea how old he was. I don't think there's anything in Scripture that would tell us how old he was. He could have been a younger person. He could have been an older person. Who knows? What it does tell us here is that he was paralyzed and could not use his arms or legs. Okay, probably not. We're not sure how he got that way. It could have been by accident. It could have been by birth. All we know is that, as it says here, he was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. How many of you want to grow up to be just like that? I want to grow up to be totally worthless. Is that in anybody's five-year plan? We don't want to be bedridden for 8 years, let alone for 8 hours. Oh, well, that's a sleepy time. I'm a person that when I'm sick, I don't like laying in bed. I want to get back up and doing what I need to do and do it quickly, and that's half the reason why I'm such a stubborn person. We want to go to school and make friends or go to work and do something productive. We all want to be productive. But here is Aeneas who couldn't do anything. Totally unproductive. He just laid there. If you were to look at somebody who is totally unable to contribute to society, what would you say about that person? Would you say, there's a rather useless individual? The society we live in seems to think that people have the right to decide who should live and who should die based on their quality of life. There are babies who are being killed because their parents say, well, if we have this child, we may not be able to give them the quality of life that a child deserves. Well, who are you or I to decide what quality of life is worth living? That is my soapbox for the day. Chances are Aeneas didn't have many friends. I don't read anything in here that says that he was surrounded by family or friends. Just that he was there and he was bedridden. Most likely he had been abandoned. Because if you were bedridden for all that time, chances are you made your living by begging. How many people want to hang out with beggars? I can only think of one. You see, God cared for Aeneas. How much did God care for Aeneas? God cared enough for Aeneas to set up a coincidental meeting with God's person, Peter. My, what a coincidence. My tongue is firmly planted in my cheek as I say this because I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in divine appointments. And I think that day was Aeneas' divine appointment with Peter, who happened to bring Jesus with him where he went. God cares for somebody who had nothing to contribute. How do we know that? Peter didn't pass Aeneas by. When he saw Aeneas, what did he do? Peter just said to him, what? Jesus heals you. I love those words. Jesus heals you. You know why I love those words? Because it's all about Jesus. And he's the one who does the healing. I love that. Peter goes straight up to Aeneas and looks him square in the eye. I can picture this in my mind. And he says, Jesus heals you. Get up and take your mat with you. I can almost imagine saying, get rid of that thing. You're not going to need it anymore. I know he said that. That's kind of an inference. That's me adding to Scripture. God has mercy on me. But Aeneas miraculously got up. He did it. He got up. And this was not a magic trick. This was not David Copperfield getting up and making an elephant disappear. This was a thank you, Jesus, healing that took place that day. Aeneas could not work. He was alone. He was obviously sick. He is obviously incapacitated and totally worthless to humanity. And God said, hey, worthless child of mine, you're healed. How much was he worth? I worked in Philadelphia for almost 8 years. And every day I would be walking by people who were sleeping on sidewalk grates and steam vents in order to stay warm at night because they were homeless. A lot of people would look at them and say, well, they've obviously got drug problems, alcohol problems, or they're mentally incapacitated. How much worth is somebody like that? Well, how much are they worth to you or me? If you're going to look into God's eyes and look at the way God looks at them, how much are they worth to him? How much is a worthless person worth in God's eyes? How much? A drop of blood or two? Maybe you know somebody like that. Or maybe you yourself feel like a worthless person. Maybe you feel like you don't have a whole lot you can contribute. Maybe you feel like a nobody. Maybe you feel like an outcast. Maybe you feel like you're worthless. Even, ladies and gents, if other people look past you, even if people look past you and don't even see you, God does not. God wants to help. He wants to heal. And can you guess why? Because He loves you, and He is looking for people that He can glorify Himself through, and He cares for you. God cared for somebody who had absolutely nothing to contribute. And if God cares for somebody who has absolutely nothing to contribute, how should we behave toward those who have nothing to contribute? The same way. The surprising thing is that God can use a person who seems to have nothing to contribute. He can use them in an amazing way. Look at verse 35 again. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him, and what happened to them? They turned to the Lord. Why? Because Aeneas was given a supernatural ability to preach the gospel. Right? Don't you nod your head at me. It says absolutely nothing like that. It says that he was healed. What do you think he did when he got healed? Well, let me ask you what you do. What would you do if you had been laid up on your back for 8 years and all of a sudden somebody comes along and says, Jesus heals you? What would you do? I'd be trying my legs out. Man, I'd be trying them everywhere I could find a place to try them. I would be leaping and dancing for joy. Wouldn't you? It doesn't say anything in here that Aeneas said a word. All that says here is that Aeneas, Peter says, Jesus heals you, get up and roll up your mat, and immediately Aeneas got up, and all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. How do you think they saw him? I know, CNN. Right? They turned on the TV and they saw this guy walking around and said, praise the Lord, look at this, we got to follow the God that did this for this guy, right? Okay, it wasn't CNN. It was Facebook. How do you think that everybody in two cities, would you say Instagram? No. There were two cities of people that saw him. How did that happen? He was testing out the legs, I'll bet you. Lydda was no big deal. The city of Sharon, no big deal. There weren't a lot of people, obviously, traveling between the two. So obviously, there was somebody traveling between the two. And guess who it must have been? By inference, Aeneas. And people saw him and glorified God because he was healed. God cares for worthless people. How many of you say, that's good news for me because I feel worthless? Second thing I want to run by you this morning is God cares for the productive people too. Not just the worthless, but the productive. And before I jump on point number two, let me help you understand this. Don't you ever underestimate what God can do in your life or somebody else's. Don't you ever dare underestimate God. I was written off when I was 15 years old. Okay? And I praise the Lord that He called me to this kind of marvelous work, because I get to see what the Lord does in the lives of good people just like you. So don't underestimate what God can do. And number two, don't underestimate what God can do through productive people. Not just worthless people, but productive people. This is one of my favorite stories, and it may not sound terribly uplifting, but there was a woman, verse 36, in Joppa. There was a disciple named Tabitha, or in the Greek her name was Dorcas, and she was always doing good and helping the poor. But about that time she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." So Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room, and all the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. But Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed, and turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. And this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Here we find a person who had made a lot of contributions to society, a woman named Tabitha, which is an Aramaic name for a Greek named Dorcas. So you find both names here, Aramaic name of Tabitha and the Greek name of Dorcas. And I prefer to call her Tabitha, you know, because Dorcas sounds like, you know, dork. Who wants to be called a dork? She was definitely not a dork. She was a helpful person. And it says that she made clothing and that she was a helper. And my guess is that being a helper was her spiritual gift. The spiritual gift of help. She saw poor people and widows, and she made clothing for them. That's a wonderful thing to be able to do. That's productive. She made them robes. She made them clothing. She loved doing that. She was a seamstress. Obviously, she knew how to sew. And she used that spiritual gift from God to help many, many people in her society. Unlike the paralytic, Aeneas, we find Tabitha, who was very productive and very useful. But she died. Some had heard that the Apostle Peter was in the next town, so they sent for Peter, and they brought him straightway there because they thought that perhaps Peter could raise her from the dead. Why else would they call for Peter? Perhaps they had heard that Peter had just raised this paralyzed man off his mat, believing that it was Peter that did it, but we do know that it wasn't Peter. Right? Right. But they had faith to believe that something special could happen there. But let me tell you something. If you help somebody get back to health when they're sick, that's a miracle. But if you raise them from the dead, that's a whole nother ball of wax. Did you know that the word "another" is not in the dictionary? That's another whole ball of wax. When he arrived, Peter could see the widows all gather around, and they're crying, and they showed him some of the clothing that she had made while she was still alive. And so Peter shooed them all away, and he got down on his knees, and he prayed and said, "Tabitha, get up." Imagine the joy and the celebration that took place in that house. After Tabitha got up on her feet and Peter led her out to where all these crying and mourning people were, their dear friend who had done so much for all of them was now alive, even though at one point she was dead. Okay? Is that a miracle? Well, it says in verse 30 or 42 that the people saw what had happened and many of them turned to the Lord. Okay, what's the greater miracle? The fact that this dead woman was brought back to life physically, or the fact that there were many people that were spiritually dead and they were brought to spiritual life? Which is the greater miracle here? Just like Aeneas, Tabitha, through God's work in her, also led many people to Jesus because of the testimony of her restored life. Don't ever underestimate what God can do to worthless people. Don't ever underestimate what God can do to productive people. What's the key element that's common to both of those? Don't ever underestimate what God can do. Amen? That was the most uninspiring amen I have ever heard. Somebody help me here. And then we read verse 43, where it says, "And then Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon." Big deal. So what? Well, this shows us that God cares for the untouchables. What's an untouchable? Somebody who is so awful you don't even want to touch them. Right? Are there untouchables in our society? I was talking to a guy by the name of Arjun some years ago that found the Lord in a miraculous way. He was a very rich young man from a very rich family, Hindu family. And one day, he went to his family and said, "I heard somebody reading the Bible and they were talking about a God who is like a refiner's fire, and I want to find out what he's all about." The family said, "You can't do that. You're a Hindu." He said, "I must do that." They kicked him out and shunned him. If you're interested in hearing his story, let me know. I'll tell you about it. It's a pretty cool story. Pretty cool story. You see, in India, there are that class of people they call the untouchables. Okay? And we'll, ask me. I'll tell you all about it. Of the three persons in this passage, we know the least about Simon. There's only like how many words here about him? 12 words. That says that he was a tanner. Okay? What does a tanner do? What's that? Well, I'll tell you what. You think it's bad. Back in those days, you may want to plug your ears for the next 45 seconds. Okay? A tanner takes animal skins and makes them worthy of things like shoes and belts. You want yourself a red belt? They have to be tanned that way. You want a black one? They've got to be tanned that way. How many of you are wearing shoes today? They have been processed by a tannery. Skins were delivered to these tanners, and they were usually dried stiff and dirty with soil and roar. I don't even want to talk about it. The ancient tanners would soak their skins in water to clean them and soften them. Okay? That doesn't sound so bad, does it? Then they would pound and scrub the pelts in order to remove the fur so they could get through the leather. But sometimes that stuff wouldn't come off. And so what the tanners would do is they would need to remove the hair, and this was done by either soaking the skins in urine or painting it with alkaline lime solution, and it was rancid. Tanners were the untouchables. Can you guess why? Because they worked with fecal matter all day long and they smelled like it. It was in their clothes, it was in the pores of their skin. And after they did all that soaking, they would take it, they would take the pelt and they would dip it in a brine solution, and the stuff would just peel right off. And then they would take the skins and they would stretch them and do all the things that they needed to do to make them usable. Why am I giving you any of this really revolting information? Because we need to understand that this was not a pretty trade. And for somebody like Peter, a very well-confirmed Jew, to go and stay with a person like that required something. Because Simon was in that society an untouchable. People didn't like to be around tanners. Why? Because of a smell. people welcomed their trade at a price, but would not welcome them. What am I getting at? Did you know that God cares for people like tanners? God cares for the untouchables. God cares for the untouchables. Now let that roll around in file drawer number 13 up here for just a minute. And let me ask you a question. Who is the untouchables in your life? Who are they? Notice the pregnant pause here. Who do you value as being totally worthless and untouchable? Are there any people you find very distasteful and offensive to the point where you don't want to even go near them? Do you feel like maybe you are one kind of worthless? Nobody cares about you because you're untouchable? How do you know that God cared for Simon? What's the common denominator between all three of these stories? Peter, who was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know Paul said it, but Peter was not ashamed either. The Word will tell you that God used Simon, if you go further in the book of Acts, to help prepare Peter for a missions trip to Caesarea. And on this mission trip to Caesarea, God used Peter to save a man named Cornelius. Okay? Cornelius was a man with a family. And when God saved Cornelius, what happened? Cornelius was a Gentile. But God used Peter to minister to Simon, to minister to Cornelius, to minister to a group of Gentiles who became Christians. Peter didn't know what God was going to do. All he knew was that he was supposed to go stay at the home of a person named Simon, and so he did that. And what happened? Many people were saved just by him visiting this house. People that he didn't even know. Did Peter know Cornelius? I find nothing in Scripture to indicate that he did. But Simon did. Okay? Cornelius did not know what God was going to do, but in time, lots of people found out what God was doing. Is that incredible? There's a miracle in that. So you're saying, okay, Pastor Jay, we've been listening to you now for 22 minutes. How do we apply this? So what? Well, this is how you apply it. Listen, please. We don't know how God is going to use us. Put yourself in that phrase. I don't know how God is going to use me. You might feel like you have absolutely nothing to contribute to society. You may suffer from whatever that makes you not want to be around people. And you don't know how God is possibly going to use you. You might feel as though you have a lot to contribute. Or you may feel like an untouchable that's just totally unusable. How is God going to do that? Well, that's not up to you to worry about. Don't worry about it. Because it's all up to God. It's all up to Him. God will use every single each of us with whatever we have to make a contribution to the kingdom of God if we're available. If we're available. Sometimes those who seemingly have nothing can be used by God to do some pretty amazing things. People like Aeneas, who wound up bringing many, many people to know Jesus. There's not anything here that tells us exactly how many people in Lydda and in Sharon came to know Jesus through Aeneas, but we do know this. There was a bunch of them. because they're mentioned. Lots of people came to know Jesus. So my question to you is this. There are many people here in this church that have been very busy in this church doing the same thing for many, many, many years. Okay? People have been wearing lots of hats in this congregation for many, many years. Why am I asking this? Why am I talking about this? Well, let me ask you this. Are you willing to pray to God and say, Lord, how can I contribute to the life of my congregation? You might say, well, I've got nothing to contribute. Yeah? Well, it's not about you. Well, I've been paralyzed for 8 years. Guess what? It's not about you. But I am so busy doing so many things. I am a contributing member of society, and I contribute a lot. I don't think I have the time. It's not about you. But I have this problem. I have a guilty past. Nobody would want to use me. I'm untouchable. There are no untouchables in the kingdom of God. Don't you ever underestimate what God can do, even in the life of an untouchable. You might say, but wait a minute, I've got problems. Do you think God can heal you of those problems? Maybe you are spiritually paralyzed. Can God heal you? Maybe you'd say, but I am dead. I'm spiritually dead. I have been doing so much for so long, I've given up, and now I'm dead. Yeah. Jesus could raise Tabitha from the dead. Guess what he can do for you? He can raise you from the dead. God can do wonders through any life that is yielded to him. But you don't understand, Pastor Jay, you're preaching to somebody else. I don't have any abilities. Well, guess what? Everybody say it. That's not about me. Not about me. Who's it about? And it's what he can do, not what you can do. Amen? God can do wonders through any life that's yielded to him. Okay, Pastor Jay, that sounds great, but I don't have many abilities. What could God possibly do through me? Well, it's not about your abilities. It's about your availability. Are you available? Amen? So my question is this morning, how many of you would dare to say, okay, I'm going to start praying and seeking where God might want to use me to benefit my congregation? Are you brave enough to pray that prayer? We've been praying for youth leaders now for how long? We've been praying for helpers in Sunday school. We've been praying for helpers all over the place. And I know we can do that. What ability do you have? It's not about your abilities. It's about your availability and what God can do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in your world there are no useless people. There are no worthless people. There are no untouchables. Because, God, you are able. You are the Almighty God, and there's nothing that's too hard for you. Father, I believe that right now you might be talking to the heart of somebody here. Perhaps they've been kind of waiting in the shadows, thinking about how they might get involved. Father, I pray that you would speak to their heart and show them the way. Father, we thank you because you are a God who can bring healing to the paralyzed. You are the God who can bring healing even to the dead. Father, you are the God who can use even untouchable people. Lord, you can heal the drug addicts. Father, you can give new life to the prostitutes. You can give new life, Father, to the AIDS sufferers or the people that we don't want to touch because of their nationality. Dear God, you are the God of all, and we believe that today. And we pray, dear God, that you would speak to our hearts. And Father, that you might use us in some way. That you, dear God, would be glorified. It's not about me. It's all about you. So God, glorify yourself in today and for all time. In Jesus' name we pray.